Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, friends. This is Nick, and I'm here with my co-host Terry, and this is Hell No, the radio show. Hell No, the radio show is a socially conscious water cooler talk show about what's going on in the world as we feature guests and callers who express their thoughts. Hell No is friendly, it's funny, it's real, and it's focused on empowering the truth. The truth, truth, truth. We give a voice to people who feel left in the dust, dust, dust. This program is not democratic, it's not fascist, it's not politically correct, or a place for sacred cows. What we do is we advocate peace, critical thought, education, reading, and social awareness. So go ahead and write down this telephone number and give me and Terry a call to share your thoughts on our discussion-stirring topics on tonight's Hell No episode. Telephone number is 718-508-9419. Then when you're prompted, dial option number 1 on the telephone keypad. Again, that number is 718-508-9419. Hell No is a one-hour show, and we take calls in order we receive them, so please sit tight as we take them in that order. And I want to remind all y'all that we can get emails anytime at hellnoradioshow@gmail.com, and our episodes are available on our Facebook and Twitter pages, facebook.com/hellnotheradioshow, and follow us on Twitter at hellnoradioshow. Easier than that, just do a search for Hell No, the radio show in your Google, Bing, Yahoo, whatever you want. And easy to find us. It's not hard. Partial support for Hell No, the radio show comes from our sponsors. We love them. We rely on them. They're good people. They put up with us. We recommend you go check them out. Terry's going to tell us about them now.
Wow. That is quite an introduction.
There you go.
I think it's time for music.
Anyhow,
our first sponsor is our longtime friend and remarkably wonderful body worker, Ms. Jane Flint. She works out of Milwaukee, Wisconsin. She's a massage therapist and body worker extraordinaire. She's located at 10335 West Oklahoma Avenue in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, just off the freeway. As we always say, if you're within 100 miles, you're in her territory. Believe me, it's worth the drive. It is worth the drive. You can reach her at 414-321-9030. 321-9030. She is the best of the best, and someone that we've known for well over 35 years, and her expertise has never been in question. She is simply as good as they get. We have another sponsor tonight. This is for all you equine aficionados, the horse people.
Horse people. Horse people.
This is a resurrection of a product that was available in the 90s. It was a very important product, but it was knocked off the market by some dirty pool and chicanery by a couple of companies that didn't want to see the product out there and wanted it for themselves. It's being brought back, called the Farley Brace and the Farley Boot. And these are prosthetic devices for horses that allow you to reduce fractures in both the foreleg and hind legs, and yet have the animal on the leg. One of the big problems with horses is when they break something, when they shatter a bone or even go into a simple fracture of any of the leg bones, they're pretty well done for. They, you know, everybody hears about them shooting horses. It really is about the only thing you can do because of the way the horses are built.
Yeah, they
and,
don't seem to sit down on the couch and keep a leg up, do they? They're not very good
at
that.
Well, no. And the thing is, the only solution they've had is to put the horse in a sling, you know, and under the belly to take all the weight off. And I'm dealing with well over 1,000 pounds in most cases. And after about a week, the horse can't handle it. So it just doesn't work. This particular, it's actually a group of devices, but the primary device will allow the hoof and leg to be encased in a rigid clamshell that the horse can walk on. So the horse doesn't have to be supported. This is some fairly remarkable technology. One of the questions is always, well, what about pressure sores? Very few pressure sores develop from this, and if they do, they're small enough to treat easily. The boot and the splints are lined with a couple of types of high-density foam held in place by clips that the horse can't figure out and take off on his own. And the horse can put full weight on it, and it can be the horse can be shod or unshod. Horses are no horses, for those of you who are non-horse people. But it allows the horse to walk and put full weight on that leg while the fracture is reduced and while the fracture is healing. So it essentially saves the lives of many an expensive horse. When this brace and boot were first put out on the market, the people in Germany who are, you know, avid horsemen and women, just doesn't sound right saying horse people. I think it's the wrong idea. At any rate,
it's true, though.
They wanted,
people are horse people.
They wanted to purchase large numbers of these things to utilize on their horses, both to prevent fractures and after, you know, hard workouts and so on, to give the leg a rest. And a nefarious company got into the middle of this and caused the parent company, the owners of the patents, to go out of business. They have been resurrected, and the boot and brace, and also there's a splint system, will be back out on the market within a month. So it's fairly exciting stuff. It's the kind of thing that they would use at racetracks, with the trotter horses, certainly with thoroughbreds and jumpers. If you are a horse aficionado, you will see something in one of the trade publications in the near future.
What's it called again?
Farley brace. The Farley brace.
Farley
brace. Boots.
Farley brace.
Yeah.
You know, I wonder.
Farley
we
brace,
have a
named after the inventor.
Our annual the Harley, like Harley, like the motorcycle.
Mm-hmm.
Harley brace. I'm gonna bring
no,
it up and
Farley,
talk to you.
Farley brace.
Oh, like Chris Farley. F-A-R-L-E.
Yes.
There you go. I'm going to, because we have a North Texas Fair and Rodeo coming up in a couple weeks, and I always have a lot of equine demonstrations. I mean, I live in actually, there are more horses per capita in my county than there are anywhere in the world. We are destination number one horse country. It's part of the soil.
Yeah, I've noticed that by your dates. Yeah.
Yeah, well, it's shut up, Terry.
oh, my.
All choking
language.
Us. Mm-hmm. That's nice language.
We have pictures. Don't get too smart about it.
Yeah. Dating. Oh, my goodness. I have to humbly admit here, I can't believe I'm doing this. Maybe it's I'm just a glutton for punishment or just an idiot, but I went back on Tinder, and I'm just already kind of cringing because, number one, what a time suck that is. Number two, getting your profile right. I had one of my girlfriends I love her to death, but she and I are just going to be friends. You know, this is the way we've been for years. But I had her look at my profile, and I said, what on here would make me look stupid, or I don't want to look snotty or too provincial or too this or that? You know, so I always recommend people
on
someone up.
How come you didn't ask me, Nick?
Because your track record is just not where I'm just not going to do that.
What do you mean
my
track record?
I don't need you
to
complain about it.
What do you mean my track record?
I don't know.
What?
But let me just tell you, the first girl who clicked and, you know, say, oh, hi, how are you? You know, first I try to make things, you know, just, I don't know. You don't know who these people are. She's at a bar. She's at some tavern. She tells me, you know, it's like 4 o'clock in the afternoon. And hey, if you want to go and sit in a tavern at 4 o'clock in the afternoon, by all means, that's your choice. You know, I wish I could do that. I can't. But and I just wonder sometimes, like some of these girls on there, there's like hookers, there's this, there's that. They always like masquerade as these like sweet little. I don't know. It's just I think, well, you know, why did I do this? Why did I spend 1 hour of my time? But we'll see. Maybe I know, because there's so many people out there, well, not so many, but a few people I know who actually have met wonderful people on these apps because all these people apparently are there now. And I don't know, wish me luck.
Yeah,
but,
and there are also people who've won the lottery.
Well, I think your chances are better your chances are better at some of the dating apps and the lottery things, looking on the numbers, and I don't know. But hey, why don't we talk about some passing personages while we're still here to talk about them
about
before we?
Mr. Dimitri the Clown.
What a man! Wow, man.
Mm-hmm. Give us a little rundown on Dimitri the Clown. He just passed away last week.
This guy's a character. If you saw him on the street, you might think he was like a crazy looking old man. Probably good for like a clown type of look. His name was Dimitri Jacob Mueller. He was born in Switzerland in 1935, and he became a clown. He became an apprentice potter while studying music and theater. He went to Paris, studied under Etienne de Creux and Marcel Marceau. Marcel Marceau mm-hmm. is quite was he was Marcel Marceau
famous
ventriloquist?
Mime. No,
just
he was
a famous
mime.
Okay, so I was close, mm-hmm. but not quite correct there. But Dimitri the Clown preferred performing solo in theaters with very few props and no scenery. His act, you know, so there might be behind him, there might be just like nothing, just him up there. Sort of which, when I read that, it sort of reminded me of George Carlin and how mm-hmm. much I missed George Carlin to death and just wish he was still around. And I mean, he'd have bullshit is all he'd have to say about so much going on right now. I wish he could call in from heaven, all into our show. So anyways, Dimitri the Clown, the finale of the show, he played, he was 80 years old. He lived to 80, but he played saxophones simultaneously, at the end of, his show. You know, mm-hmm. the guy just was, a pretty Dimitri the Clown. Definitely good to Google.
I was lucky enough to see Dimitri a couple of times in my life.
Uh-huh.
And, very, very talented gentleman, very talented gentleman. Well, Dimitri, wherever you are, keep them laughing, baby. We sure need the humor. Because
right.
after this year and this election, there ain't going to be anybody laughing, I don't think. It's just getting uglier and uglier, day by day.
We'll touch on that, but before we do, our other passing person is Fred Tomlinson, who was quite the man. Mighty Python, like, wrote a lot of the... Was he just a writer for a lot of that? What can you tell us about Fred? You may know more than that, Eve.
Well, Tomlinson had a group of singers, the Tomlinson Singers, and they used to do a lot of stuff for television and also some backups for movies and so on. Tomlinson had a very deep bass voice. They would call him in to... sometimes balance out records and recordings. He also wrote music. He was the one who put together the lumberjack routine. I'm a lumberjack and I'm okay, for those of you who are Monty Python fiends.
Love it.
Great routine. And he did quite a few other things for the Pythons. So that's wonderful stuff. We're going to miss him. And the Tomlinson Singers were actually a very talented group of folks. And if you remember seeing the lumberjack routine in the movie, and now for something completely different, the first Monty Python movie, most of the lumberjacks, other than the Python members like John Cleese, were the Tomlinson Singers. So that's something to look for. The guys in the lumberjack outfit or in the Mountie outfits were the Tomlinson Singers. So wherever you are, give us a bass rumble and keep the laughs coming, man. We need them.
I absolutely recommend everyone of all ages to watch Monty Python movies at some point. If you got kids, make your kids, force kids to watch Monty Python. And, you know, I don't, however you can make it, I mean, they'll be so much better off. I mean, growing up, my father was my dad was adopted by Germans with kind of a Brit, but like with they were German people, but there was some sort of English in the background somewhere, but they were very dry and like that sense of humor. So Mr. Bean, Benny Hill, I mean, all that, you know, British stuff was just always on in my household growing up. And it's that dry sense of humor that just like smart people get it. And it's just funny when people don't get it, or it's just, I don't know. It is what it is. So before we have a caller out there, we're going to bring our caller online. She's our friend who likes to chime in, and we certainly appreciate her. But first, right quick, I want to dispense of my hell no and my hell yes for the week. First, I will say my hell no. My hell no goes out to people who fail to respect and recognize the role of other folks in organizations. I say that because there is a hierarchy in place in organizations for a specific purpose. When a person is a decision maker and makes decisions, that person should make the decisions. The people who work with that person in advisory capacities can advise and make suggestions that are helpful, but not necessarily try to redirect or re-steer the person who is in charge of making decisions. It's sort of like undermining another parent. When mom says no and dad says don't listen to your mother, she's cranky this week, it undermines the parent's responsibility.
Aren't we being politically correct?
I'm just trying to, you know, I'm about ready to, you know, there's something I'm involved in that just about once a week I want to tell the entire organization what type of bricks to pack in their sack and which pier to run off into under which ocean or lake. And it's, I'm just, you know, then something good will happen or something, someone nice will come along. And that one person who just made me want, you know, and so then it gets, anyways, the long story short is one person can poison a whole group. Just don't do it. You know, like learn your place in the food chain, learn your place and conduct yourself accordingly. And if you don't want to be in a hierarchical situation, you don't like having a place or don't like being told where your place is, don't be involved in organizations with a structure. Find some anarchist group. That, you know, everyone, yeah, there you go. So that's my hell no. My hell yes goes to local companies, Standard Insurance. I thought of you, Terry, when I signed up for Standard Insurance. We always see their ads on TV and the nice lady in her Suburban. And, you know, we've been in Dallas since 1942. Do-to-do, come to our Standard Insurance. And, you know, my brother went and signed up with them, and he said they were cheaper than Progressive, local company. And I said, all right, I'll give them a shot. I go over to these guys. They save me money. I said, okay, that sounds good. And they have all their offices are literally right in the Metroplex. They're not far. I can, within under an hour, I can get to any of their, you know, places. So if I've got a, so I told the man, you know, we do this radio show called Hell No, the Radio Show, and one of our complaints is customer service these days and how you can't go and stand there in the line at the utility company with your arms folded because you're going to either get arrested or B, you know, they're in Taipei or something. So they're right there, nice guy, you know, trustworthy, you know, ask me questions about this or that. It's not some ding-a-ling, you know, somewhere flipping the switch on yay or nay for a claim that I were to make someday, you know. God willing, I don't have to. But so anyways, local businesses are out there, local insurance companies. If I could switch from Sprint to a local cell phone provider, I would do it in a heartbeat. You know, sometimes the operations you get locally are rinky-dink and not worth a damn, but this one was good, and Standard Insurance, that dog can hunt. I'm happy with it. We're going with it. So that's my hell yes to Standard Insurance Agency based out of Dallas, Texas. Let's say hi to our caller. Caller's telephone number ends in 6838. You're on with Nick and Terry. What say you?
Good evening. And I have to say a hell yeah to somebody else, too. On the insurance line, okay? I had the most positive experience with a car insurance issue, and it was through UAA. I am very fortunate that my father is still a living veteran, and I was able to access that resource. Absolutely, they absolutely take care of the veterans and their family members. I had an incredible experience, not only from a customer service standpoint, but from a cost standpoint.
We'll say hell yes for them. And guess what? I am going to go completely off program here and talk about something that we haven't done, that we aren't even prepared for, and that there's a damn good reason to talk about. Because before both Nick and I get completely pissed off, because we are and we're going to be when you see what is going on with the political crap, the media crap, and all the rest of it, I would like to give a hell yes to coaches for amateur sports, and especially the swimming coaches, who I happen to work with one of those folks periodically, and I want to just give them a big hell yes. The gentleman's name is Tom, and he works in northern Illinois and southern Wisconsin. He is one of these folks that he really delves into the sport and keeps these kids interested, motivated, and challenged. And I'll tell you, we need so much more of that. He also is very quick to say that, you know, the work ethic has virtually disappeared. Agree on that. He is also quick to say that fewer kids are interested in being successful in sports like swimming, and that fewer people can swim than probably ever before proportionately.
Yikes.
That's scary, and we've talked about that on the show, that the difference between death and an inconvenience is the ability to swim. You know, you fall off of something, you end up in the pond or the lagoon, and if you know how to swim, it's yuck. I wish I wasn't in here, get myself to shore, dry out my socks, clothes, and hope my wallet survived. No swimming lessons, don't know how to swim, and it's sayonara.
How can you not know how to swim? I mean, isn't there a human response to what?
Yes, but it only lasts for a few months when you're a tiny baby. After that, you forget how to swim, can't do it anymore. One of the best things your parents can do is take you to one of those infant swimming classes and pitch you in the water, and you'll bob like a cork and swim like a dog.
Yep, that's
when
what
my
when
my daughter was around 8 months old, because of the season, we had private swim lessons from a student at the local junior college. And I would just go stay on the deep end of the pool, out of the way, out of sight, and let them work with her. She never really learned how to, quote, swim per se, but she learned water. And when she was older and had more opportunity to swim, it's just natural. She has no fear whatsoever. Versus me, you know, I wait till I'm 32 to learn to swim, and I have a ski belt on and a life jacket on, and I'm still, you know, not over my head because I'm not convinced I won't sink. I taught myself to swim.
You know, there's
you're absolutely right, Terry. You're absolutely right. There is great that fear factor of knowing if I were to get thrown from a boat and were conscious, then I know what to do. I would not immediately panic because I know how to swim.
Right.
And I know that I will float. Go ahead.
There was just a situation the other day in Florida where a young lady got carried out in a riptide. And riptides are pretty fierce in Florida these days. Weather is causing all kinds of craziness with these riptides. And, of course, there's no global warming. Just ask George W. Bush and Newt Gingrich. The global warming and I'll say it loud, is causing major shifts in the oceanic currents. And these riptides are becoming really fierce. Young lady got carried out. A young gentleman who I believe was 19 years old swam out, got her under the chin, dragged her back in, knew how to go with the rip current, and, it took a while for him to make it back. But he also knew not to fight it too much, just to try and go on an angle. Got her back alive. And, hell yes for him, and also hell yes for her, because if she had fought him, she would have died, because he wouldn't have been able to hold on to her.
One of the things that I noticed is also, and I remember swimming lessons and all that, and I was actually probably 6 months old when my mommy had me in water. She was a physical education teacher and coach and all that, so she's way into all that. And so, I learned from before I could walk, I could swim, but one of the things that I remember was I always do the back float and, like, go on your back because – you're going to sink I remember in high school we had to learn all the water safety and the dead man's float and all those different things. And I had an opportunity to go swimming in a lake last month when I was on vacation. And my mama challenged me. She says, she's 70 years old. She's like, but I can beat you in laps. We're swimming, we're hauling. And I'm telling you don't use those muscles. Man, I thought I'd be in trouble if I was out somewhere. So I said, the regular breaststroke, I'm sorry, no way. If I had to go more than, 50 feet, I'd be toast. My fat ass would be like, they're fish food. But so I said, the best thing to do is that back, do a backstroke or not a back, just like kick and keep yourself above the. But, just the fear of water and people just afraid of everything. I can appreciate why people have that fear. And if they've never swam before, and to our caller, congratulations at the age of 32, you decided to go for it. What do you have to lose? To get over that fear, who knows what other fears. Now, here's a fear, though, that I have that I will never get rid of because I have a logical brain. I have a fear of hot air balloons, and I think that I should. We just had some people down in Austin. The hot air balloon, the guy was drunk, and the hot air balloon, all these people, 16 people died or something like that.
16 people, they hit a power line.
Every time I see those things out there, I'm like, those people are, they're daredevils. Unless I'd have a parachute or something, there's no way. I don't have the thrill seeking for hot air balloons, jumping out of planes. Someone recently jumped out of an airplane without a parachute and jumped into a net. And the person landed it, but I don't know. I would have been born with wings if God meant me to fly. That's just my thoughts on it. But anyways, well, Terry, I appreciate your hell yes to swim coaches and all that and all the people who teach kids that it's good to be out there, athletic, learn things. There's a lot to learn from sports. I think that the kids who never participated in sports may have missed out on a lot of things. And you know what? As adults, there are all sorts of adult active groups out there and things. You can be 50 years old and chasing after soccer balls.
For these coaches, and especially the swim coaches, who really do help keep people alive. They aren't just involved in competition. They are also involved in teaching basic swimming to people. And it is a skill that we need. That's a life skill. That's something we need for just raw survival. So, anyhow, we're bearing on down, I think, to our music time. And we're going to do something because both Nick and I, as I said, are pretty pissed off right now. Some of the same reasons, most of them political and cultural. Let's hear from Jefferson Airplane. Some of the rebels of the 60s.
Keep talking volunteers. About them for a second until I scroll until I find it.
Uh-oh.
I had it, and then I hit that refresh button.
Oh, man, come on. Maestro has failed me. Yeah.
I know. Here we go. Wait, no. I had Jefferson Airplane Lawman. I had that queued up.
No.
Find it. It's probably towards
Anyhow,
the top. There we go.
Jefferson Airplane was truly a remarkable group of people. And the skill levels within that band were absolutely incredible. And it's one of the few times where I will use the ever-present catchphrase of today, awesome, because they truly were. On a good night, and everybody on, they were one of the best. They really were. And social consciousness, like just about nobody else, and rebellion where it needed to be. So let's hear it for Volunteers.
I am so upset,
Nick,
right now, because
doing?
I literally an animal cut our song off. We're going to start the song over and not let
that
any animals
like that should be dinner.
Get in the way. I could make a really bad racist joke, but I won't. Let's try that again.
Jack Cassidy, periodically Nicky Hopkins, Jefferson Airplane. An incredible group. And man, we should have listened to them when they were talking about what was going on with the police forces, militarization. We should have listened to them. We didn't. And right now, we are royally fucked, in plain English. We are dealing with a country that's sliding down into fascism, deeper and faster than anything you can imagine.
Here is a problem, though.
What?
No one knows what that means, Terry. No one knows what that means anymore.
Well, they better damn well wake up to what it means, because it's going to be their own damnation and destruction otherwise. And we're dealing with two political parties that are kicking us around like a football again. We had talked about this before the show. We're going to outline a couple little bits and pieces here. You know, we've got two candidates, two, count them. The Libertarian candidate, by the way, was granted some time for a town hall doodah. But what good does it do? He wasn't included in any of the major debates or anything else.
Was it 15% that he needed would have needed for the debates, or 10?
I'm not sure. I do not know the answer to that.
10 or 15.
But bottom line is, you know, it might as well not happen. Would I love to see that? Sure, I would. But realistically, it's not going to happen. Not unless a whole lot more people get behind it. And most people don't even know what libertarians are, what they stand for, or what they're doing, or anything else. And I'm telling you, Nick, I am disgusted beyond disgust with what has gone on with this country, with what has gone on with these candidates, elections, one lie after another lie, both sides of the fence, and especially at this point in time with Hillary Billery. You know, that woman has turned colors more than most amphibians do in a lifetime. It's just unbelievable. And
here's one of the things that should concern people. One of the things, when in elections past, I'm 40 years old. I've been old enough. I've been in love with politics ever since Ronald Reagan got elected, because my parents fought over it. My dad's a Republican, my mom's a Democrat. So it was like, I was like, every election, oh, yeah, getting a divorce. No, or just, mommy's an idiot, dad's an idiot, blah, 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 back and forth, you know. So I always kind of watched it, you know, what's going on here? But this is the first time that the majority of the discussion has been around the character of the person and not the policies. And I would like to remind everybody that when we elect somebody, they pick a cabinet. They rely on advice from the people in their cabinet, because they're not independently able. They're not, the president is not like the emperor of the world. And people think they have so much power, and yes, they can do executive actions and all that. But anyways, this cycle, it's been about, you know, Trump is bombastic and Hillary's a liar, or, you know, who shouldn't or should have said this. And this is more like it's like a pissing match over who can have worst manners and bad etiquette. And
yeah,
I mean, it's real.
It's
we're not talking about the issues. I don't know what the issues are. I know what the issues are, but let's compare and contrast this. We had the RNC convention, and if you listen to what was going on in the world in the RNC convention and the issues that matter, and then you watch the DNC convention, you might as well be, are we talking about Earth and Mars or Jupiter and Saturn? Because these folks do not seem to be talking about the same planet. So are the concerns on this side, like you mentioned, climate change, global warming, whatever you want to call it, it's not even discussed on the other side. Meanwhile, the RNC discusses, you know, national security, and it's, you know, then the other side tells us, you know, President Obama, after, you know, it's like people just got blown up across the street, he marches out on the stage and says, well, our world's just the greatest place, we've been the best that we've ever been, blah, blah, blah. And the problem is, if you are an artard on this side or that side and are just sucking up all of the information as handed to you in a spoon, and it's like, I've talked to people, I've listened to them, people who don't know their ass from a hole in the ground when it comes about politics, but they tell you all the same thing.
And
it's what the TV said them. What TV said this, the TV said that.
Or reality in general. People don't know reality, they don't know any of it. And
well, they
people
don't,
are living in the bubble. They're living in a bubble.
Well, here's what I suggest, Terry. People should ask
bubble.
Each other, what, like, let's talk about this race thing, okay? I have not seen. Now, if you watch the media, I live in Denton, Texas. north of Dallas. This should be one of the most racially heated, blah, 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 blah. I have not one time in all my years here witnessed some huge race problem. Black and white people get along quite fine here. We get along with the police quite well here, you know, and yet when I'm in northern cities, that's when I hear a lot of racial stuff, this and that. I mean, there's different levels of racism and things in there. But anyways, so you go on personal experience. You look at jobs and things. You ask people their personal experiences. Don't let the media tell you through propaganda what your experience in the world is like. What is your own personal experience? And ask other people, what is their experience? You know, if you look at this, propaganda has been out there from, and if you do, there are documentaries where you can learn about political propaganda and how different things were used to justify this and that. And you look at World War II propaganda and some of the things going on, it would just, you know, but it's just different time, different place, and people's different willingness to, you know, dish up a big spoonful of what's being served to them, and the compounding. And I will say the icing on the cake is social media, because if your friend and your peer group all agrees with this load of horse manure, you will say, I will also eat from that trough, because those people over here, I would never think, you know, and independent thought is gone and out the window. Now, I will say this about the millennial crowd, right? The millennial crowd has impressed me. I give these folks a hard time sometimes because of my personal experiences in working with them and failure to respond to emails, just weirdness. They don't want to talk on the phone, all that. Fine, all of a sudden, all fine and well. But there's a group of folks out there who have been told that they've been lied to. Lied to, lied to, lied to, lied to. And I think that some of the younger ones and some of the millennials are saying, I'm not going to be duped. I'm not going to be a fool. I'm going to look this stuff up and research. I'm not just going
to
take it.
And that's been
my personal experience.
But I don't see it. I don't see it.
I've experienced it
a handful
of times.
I know lots of millennials. I work with them all the time, and I'm sorry, but most of them are a bag of wet hammers by choice, and their ability to discern the truth in anything is just below that of a slightly, I can't even say that word, I got to be really careful here, of a slightly challenged sea cucumber. How's that? I didn't use the bad word.
You know,
political correctness crap.
Well, here we go. That's your experience.
But my experience is with hundreds of them, not one or two. Remember what I do. My experience is with hundreds, thousands of them is more like it. And bottom line is, I don't see it. What I see is scary. Are there a few bright spots in the tar pit? Yeah, but only a few.
Maybe those are the only ones I'm seeing, you know.
Yeah, maybe, but I'm definitely not seeing it. And today, I wasted an entire day, and I'm going to waste more of a day tomorrow, filling out an AAP form. Any idea what that stands for?
AAP.
Affirmative action plan.
That's right.
That means you should take good action.
Plan.
Be affirmative in your action.
What a waste of time. Hell no, we don't need this. It is absolutely an insult to everyone. Not
I
one person. It's an insult to everybody. This is crap. This is stuff that is eating up paper. It's eating up time. It is eating up our ability to discern reality. It's just garbage. And I'm sorry, it has done very little good for anybody. And every time I have somebody tell me about all the wonderful things that it's done, stuff, and it's another batch of lies with statistics, somebody who doesn't know how to use statistics properly, or they do know how, and they decide that they're going to twist it around and lie with them. Enough already. Enough of this crap. Enough of eating up our time. I hire people because they can do the job. I do not care what color they are. I do not care what gender they are. I don't care if they have a disability as long as they can do the job that I'm asking. I don't care. I've never cared. To me, that is being reasonably egalitarian and fair. I pay the same people It's just each person the same amount of money for the same job, never done it any differently. And I don't see what's difficult about that. And if you've got a company that's doing things other than that, don't work for it, for Christ's sake. You know, it's just, this is getting to the point of ripping this country right from the belly on up. Hell no, we don't need any more PC bullshit. Enough of it.
What does our caller have to say about all this and the affirmative action plan? She was about to offer some pearls of wisdom.
Well, I'm amazed that you're having to complete an affirmative action plan when we already have affirmative action plan. So
yeah, it's
rather
14
redundant.
Pages.
It's rather redundant, I would think. I mean, are you supposed to put something in there other than the federal guidelines of affirmative action?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
So they have
it's
their
much
own
more
affirmative
extreme.
Action? Uh-huh.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. And
so,
it is amazing.
Can they? So are they asking you to use percentages? And I mean, for lack of a better word, do they even use the term quota or anything like that on there?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
I thought that was banned in terms of language.
Sorry, it hasn't been banned. And you want to hear the best one? The most recent one is you can't ask anybody.
Is this
if
state or federal?
Arrested. It's city.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's a city.
Nick, you would probably know this. But which trumps which in terms of, I mean, the Fed would trump the city, or does the city trump the Fed? I mean,
a municipality cannot create law that, well, it goes back to the 10th Amendment, that which is not set for the Congress goes to the states, and what, you know, and so, and that not reserved to the states can go to municipalities. So, example, if they wanted to create, you know, you can, yeah, I mean, so cities can do that. It's, until someone challenges it and says that this is an unconstitutional requirement, good luck with that. But I don't. It just sounds like
exactly.
It frustrates small
good
businesses.
Good luck with that.
Yeah, good
luck.
Good luck. You know, and going back to my experience is certainly my experience has been the corruption of corporate America. And let me just go ahead and state it: if you don't think America is a corporation that is corrupt, open up your eyes. We're probably the largest corporation in the world. And how corrupt can that be?
Yeah, well,
so
Nick, do we have anybody else?
Choices. You have two choices now. You have two choices. So choose your corruption.
Do we have anybody else out there that can comment? Nick, anybody else?
No, we did. We had one of our other friends, but they must have had to go early. But I will say that there's a, you know, when we're talking about the political correctness thing, I humor, right? If we take away political correctness, we take away jokes and we take care of humor. Would it be politically incorrect for me to make fun of myself? If I were to make jokes about being a white male and white privilege or something like that, would that be politically incorrect or bad? And just humor, the humor involved. I was watching a program the other day, and this mom and her kid are visiting their friends, and their friends live in this cool, hip area. And the lady's sister, your daughter, your hair is so pretty. And she got yelled at for it. She said, you can't say that. You can't comment on her aestheticness of her hair because it'll make her self-conscious, blah, blah, blah. Another one, you're so smart. Oh, you can't say smart. You can't call them anything. You can't compliment them. You can't, you know, they're just supposed to be brain-dead zombies, you know, these poor children. I mean, they're just left in a, they're left to explore everything on their own and decide how they want the world to be for their taste. And, you know, the show just makes fun of it. I said, you just got to make fun of it. It's just absolutely getting to the point of ridiculous where, you know, the gender things, we can't have boys' bathrooms or girls' bathrooms. You can't call students boys or girls in North Carolina. You can't have a boyfriend or girlfriend in the dorms at UNC. What's next, sir and ma'am? That'll be, oh, you can't say sir and ma'am. That's politically incorrect. Well, I'm sorry. That's just, I mean, it's gotten to the point where it's so stupid, and you just, I mean, I don't know what to do because it's, when people...
It radically interferes with communication.
It does.
Radically.
It interferes with communication, and I'm
and
starting to experience
it
when...
And it also interferes with culture.
It does, and I mean, people... Right. They're like, what do you mean by that? You know, and this, the thing is, like, the whole, you know, you're not supposed to hurt anybody's... You're supposed to be mindful of how people feel. We're all sensitive and all this. But then when someone commits one of these microaggressions, you're supposed to, quote, aggressively go after them. And what did you mean by that? You know, and it's gotten to the point where it's just so stupid. And I can't – there are a couple of situations where it popped up recently, and I got funny looks from someone about something. I'm just like, give me a break. Like, I just – I'm not doing it. Sorry.
Yeah, well,
like, count me out.
Enough already. Hell no. We don't need – political correctness, not one iota of it. And you aren't going to sit there and tell me that we can or can't do something when it comes to humor, because I don't care what it's about. If you don't like it, I'm sorry, it's not incumbent upon you to participate, listen to it, go see that individual, pay for it,
oh,
whatever it might be. You know,
we have a new
I'm
person.
Sorry.
We got Terry, we got a live one. We've got a new victim on the line.
Let's get him.
Let's see. Sorry.
Come on, get
we're
on
very
there
nice
before we,
to all of our guests.
Before we
all
light
right.
it up here.
All right. So our we do this, our call, we read off the last four digits of the telephone number, and this is a caller calling with the last four digits of 0282. You're on the air with Nick and Terry. Hell No, the radio show.
Yes. Thank you for taking my call. I'm sorry I didn't get on your line early because this is absolutely one of, I think, the most crucial topics in American social life today, the issue of political correctness. But political correctness is merely a tool. It's one of the tools in the utility belt of what I call a cultural Marxist. And the idea behind political correctness is to make sure you do not present valid criticisms to the forces that seek to undermine the cultural institutions and founding traditions of the United States, particularly those that reinforce and support the Constitutional Republic. It's nothing more, nothing less than that. They're trying to expropriate everything to whom it rightfully belongs and transfer it to those to whom it does not belong, such as the institution of marriage. Perfect example, marriage rightfully belongs to the institution of men and women. They're expropriating it and transferring it to those to whom it should not belong, and that is homosexuals and transgendered and queers and lesbians and gays, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. The viewpoint to being undermining the family so it can be replaced to the extent that it can with government. It's nothing more. I know that to a lot of people that may sound simplistic, but I've been watching these people for too long. I'm absolutely certain, to a moral certainty, that's what this is ultimately all about.
Oh,
well,
amen. It's all government control.
I won't say that it's simplistic, but I will say that you are particularly open-minded culturally, because what applies in the United States, the Judeo-Christian ethic that's in the United States does not apply in most of the rest of the world. And there are many, many billions of people who that would sound like complete craziness to. That's not what they were raised with. It's not what their belief system supports. And that's just how it is. And what you're doing is you're foisting the beliefs of the U.S. on everybody else in the world. And,
I don't know any,
Hillary,
of any civilization in the history of mankind prior to very recently that had anything in marriage other than some variation of men and women.
Wait a minute, man.
Men and women, until recently.
Sorry, buddy, that is not true.
This transmogrification continues apace, where we now have literally a toiletarian form of government in the United States.
Our federal government is literally
becoming a toiletarian government.
Yeah, well,
they're
I'm
literally telling
with
states
that.
How they have to run their toilets in their bathrooms.
I'm not disagreeing with that. What I will tell you is that there are many, many cultures that you're obviously not aware of where marriage is a completely different thing or non-existent. And,
I will say it again.
You know,
I'd like you to show me where in the history of mankind, to any significant extent, that marriage has ever been in other than a variation of men and women. Polyandry, polygamy. I'd like you to point it out to me.
Wait. I'm trying to. If you shut up for a minute, I'll tell you. The Hunzikuts, the Apatanis.
How many people is that encompass in history? I said, how many people is that encompass in history of the world? What percentage of the
quite
population?
Quite a few,
world
because when you extend it downward from where they're found and their cultural base goes way, way down, down into India, down into a lot of other areas.
They're okay, so did you tell me the Indians have a significant
you
want to
wait until I finish, buddy, or
of marriage yo, other than heterosexual marriage.
Yo, you want to let me finish? I don't need you talking over me. Now, we're pretty darn good about allowing broad opinion and what have you. But if you want proof, and you shut up and listen to the proof, if you don't want to accept the proof, then your time is done, buddy. We'll talk to you some other day. Goodbye.
It's a sec, you don't have it.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.
I just tried to give it to you. You didn't let me.
All right, goodbye. You
Enough.
Win. You win.
Well,
so,
I guess his opinion.
Grant and Looney's, you know, that certainly applies. And the bottom line
like
on that is,
say, yeah. Okay.
No, I'm sorry. I just want to finish one part of it. We have absolutely no right to sit there in judgment of what a particular group of people does, and this whole bullshit thing about marriage is sacred. I'm sorry. I don't remember anybody coming down with a flaming sword telling me about that. Some people
you
claim
know,
to have seen it, but they were usually people who had frontal lobe disorders. And the bottom
I'm
line
gonna...
is that the whole, you know, one man, one woman thing is actually a minority of the planet, whether people want to believe that or not. So, you know, there's polygamy, there's polyandry that exists in many cultures as the norm.
If I could, you know, just jump in here too. You know, I wonder how many animal species have same-sex things going on or what the natural order of things are.
Lots
and there, you know,
of
people
them.
Ask me what I think about it, and I do think that marriage, I'm a God-fearing Christian. I'm very, very proud of that. And I do believe that marriage is between a man and a woman, and that's from the Bible. And people who want to, in my opinion, and as an elected Republican, I must say this too, if people want to derivate from that, that is their choice for them to be judged by God, not me to judge them. I don't agree with it. But if that's what they want to do, and they elect politicians, and the politicians elect Supreme Court judges, and the Supreme Court decides that, that may be the law of the United States of America, but my law comes from much higher than that, and it comes from God, and I will take that to the grave. Now, having said that,
all I'm going to say to that one is prove it.
That's why it's faith. That's why it's faith.
Prove it.
Prove what?
Exactly. Prove that that came from anywhere.
I don't
prove
think that,
that
much anyone
prove
can
that
really...
Prove that the Tossidays, who are now extinct because they were wiped out in the Philippines, a very peaceful group of people, prove that the Tossidays were wrong. Prove that culture after culture after culture. Nick, I'm sorry, but that it just is an exhibition of not being completely with it. Your God is not their God. Are they wrong? I don't think
you know what? I don't think God
they
will ever say your religion was correct, yours was not. I don't think that you know, I think that you know, different
they
religions
no
are like different parts of the military. Everybody wants the same thing. They have different ideas in getting there. You know, and if that's the beautiful thing about our country, to the extent that there still is a democracy, and I know that's debated as well, but we have the right to vote and vote elected officials. And, you know, what we've seen through so much of this...
How are we getting to this when we were talking about God? And let me finish my point, which is the Thossidays had no God, none whatsoever. And they were hardly unique. There are many, many groups of people that didn't have any gods. Or if they did, they were just trifling things of mythology, and that's how they treated them. I'm sorry, but that's just not the case. You know, monotheism. Monotheism came up when the Semitic tribes were getting annihilated. They couldn't agree on anything. The idea of monotheism came from one of the Semitic leaders as a way of uniting their people. That's monotheism, for those of you who care, means one God theory. That was something that men made up. This is not something that was ever brought down by anybody. Monotheism is something that man made up. They did it
last
as part of
caller.
A survival technique. So, please.
One, and I know that we're running out of time, and perhaps this may be for our next discussion, is the importance of a personal belief system, belief system, versus being able to view the world. I mean, you're still going to use that personal belief system set of lenses, but you also have to be able to divest yourself from that personal belief system. And perhaps that's a topic that we further discuss.
We are over time.
I agree.
We thank everyone.
We are over time. And I thank
everybody
all of our callers.
Care. We'll see you next week.
And I said all of our callers, call in with your opinion. It's a free show. It's a free country. And I appreciate people sharing their opinions. Till then, we'll be back next week. Y'all be good to each other. This is Nick and Terry for Hell No, the radio show.
Good night, guys.